On the Edge by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. From an October 1995 General Conference Address. The dangers you face require more strength and courage than physical dangers. Here is how you can survive. Recently, I asked some young people what I should know about their generation. One young man spoke for the group and said, "We live on the edge." Since that time, I have thought a lot about what it means to live on the edge. Of course, it can mean many things. I think my fine young friend was referring to hazardous motorcycling, rock climbing, and other forms of recreation which may involve taking unnecessary risks to produce a challenge or a thrill. Some years ago, Elder Marion D. Hanks told about a group of Boy Scouts who went cave exploring. The narrow trail was marked with white stones and lighted in sections as they went. After about an hour, they came to a huge high dome. Below it lay an area called the Bottomless Pit, so called because the floor of the cave had collapsed into a deep, gaping hole. It was hard not to jostle each other on that narrow path. Pretty soon, one of the bigger boys accidentally pushed a smaller boy into a muddy area away from the light. Terrified as he lost his footing, he screamed in the darkness. The ranger heard his cry of terror and came quickly. The boy let out another cry as the beam of the ranger's light showed that he was right on the very edge of the pit. See Improvement Era, June 1957, pages 444 through 451. In this story, the boy was rescued. But this does not always happen. So many times, young people go to the very edge or even beyond it. With only a precarious toehold, it is easy to be seriously injured or even die. You may think that you are indestructible and that you are going to live forever. In a few years, you will learn that this is not so. Living on the edge can also mean being perilously close to the bottomless pit. Of even more danger is to put your souls at risk by dabbling in drugs or other mind-abusing substances to get a buzz. Finding your identity. Some of you may think that you will discover your strengths and abilities by living on the edge. Perhaps you also think it is a way to find your identity. Your identity, however, cannot be found from thrill-seeking, such as intentionally and unnecessarily exposing your life or your soul to any kind of danger, physical or moral. Enough risks will come to you naturally without your seeking them out. Your strength and identity will come from obeying the commandments, developing your talents, and serving the Lord. Each of you will have to work very hard to qualify for your eternal potential. It will not be easy. Finding your true identity will tax your ability far beyond climbing a dangerous cliff or speeding in a car or on a motorcycle. It will require all of your strength, stamina, intelligence, and courage. The appearance of evil. The best counsel I ever received about staying away from the edge came when, as a young married man, President Harold B. Lee called me to be a member of a bishopric. He said, "From now on, you must not only avoid evil, but also the appearance of evil." He did not interpret that counsel. That was left to my conscience. Each of us must take the responsibility for the moral decisions we make in life about how close we live to the edge. Nephi states, "And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon." 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 26. Being acted upon means somebody else is pulling the strings. No excuse. We live in a time when many want to avoid the responsibility for their acts. When I was a young lawyer, I was appointed by the judges to defend persons charged with infractions of the law. I learned that some individuals did not think they were guilty, even though they had violated a law. They had abdicated their consciences. They may have committed the wrongful act, but they felt it was really their parents' fault because they were not properly taught, or it was society's fault because they were never given a chance in life. So often they had some reason for blaming their actions on someone or something else rather than accepting the responsibility. They did not act for themselves, but were acted upon. In World War II, many of us went through officers' training. We were taught that the only appropriate answer when we made a life-threatening mistake was, "No excuse, sir." A courageous stand. Each of us must courageously and firmly stand up for what we are and what we believe. When President Joseph F. Smith was a young man, he was faced with this predicament. One morning, when he and several other missionaries were returning to Salt Lake City, a group of rough Mormon haters rode up on horses, firing their guns and cursing. The leader jumped off his horse and shouted, "We will kill anyone who is a Mormon." The other missionaries had fled into the woods, but Joseph F. bravely stood his ground. The man shoved a gun in Joseph F.'s face and asked, "Are you a Mormon?" Joseph F. stood tall and said, "Yessiree, dyed in the wool, true blue, through and through." The man was surprised at his reply. He put the gun away, shook Joseph's hand, and said, "Well, you are the pleasantest man I ever met. I'm glad to see a fellow stand up for his convictions." He jumped back on his horse and rode off with his companions. Friend, August 1995, page 43. Unlike Joseph F. Smith, the danger you face is not so much physical, but rather it is the danger of being deceived and misled. The danger is, in some ways, more subtle and difficult and requires more strength and courage than facing physical danger. Spelling it out. Staying away from the edge is an individual responsibility. Occasionally, you want every detail of appropriate and inappropriate conduct to be specified, perhaps so you can feel comfortable in getting closer to the edge. You sometimes seem more concerned with what the gospel prohibits than what it gives. For instance, some young adults were surprised when they learned that it was inappropriate for mixed young single groups to be involved together in overnight activities. They said, "Why hasn't the prophet told us?" The church council in this matter has been clear for many years. It should not have been necessary to tell these young people to avoid the appearance of evil. My strong advice is, if there is any question about your personal conduct, don't do it. It is the responsibility of prophets to teach the Word of God, not to spell out every jot and tittle of human behavior. Our moral agency requires us to know good from evil and choose the good. If we are trying to avoid not only evil, but the very appearance of evil, we will act for ourselves and not be acted upon. Your dating duty. You who are dating have a duty to do everything you can to protect your virtue. The Lord knows that you know better than to approach the edge of sexual enticement. You will lose part of that which is sacred about you if you go beyond the edge and abuse the great powers of procreation. We are each accountable for our own actions. How can any of us hope to play a great role in time or eternity if we have no power of self-control? Some thrill-seekers seem to be trying to satisfy an internal emptiness through the external gratification of alcohol, drugs, and illicit sexual relations. To ease their consciences, some vainly wait for the church to get modern, to wake up, or to get with the times. That internal emptiness can be filled only by making our relationships with God the center of our being, as President David O. McKay taught. It is not an easy thing to make God the center of our being. To do so, we must determine to keep His commandments. Spiritual attainment, not physical possessions, not the indulgence and the gratification of the body, must become the chief goal. A great work to do. Only in the complete surrender of our inner life may we rise above the selfish, sordid pull of nature. As the body dies when the spirit leaves it, so the spirit dies when we exclude God from it. I cannot imagine peace in a world from which God and religion are banished. Gospel Ideals, page 295. The Lord has a great work for each of us to do. You may wonder how this can be. You may feel that there is nothing special or superior about you or your ability. Perhaps you feel or have been told that you are stupid. Many of us have felt that, and some of us have been told that. Gideon felt this when the Lord asked him to save Israel from the Midianites. Gideon said, "My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Judges chapter 6, verse 15. He had only 300 men, but with the help of the Lord, Gideon defeated the armies of the Midianites. The Lord can do remarkable miracles when a person of ordinary ability who is humble, faithful, and diligent in serving the Lord and who seeks to improve himself. This is because God is the ultimate source of power. By the gift of the Holy Ghost, we can not only know all things, but even the truth of all things. Moroni, chapter 10, verse 5. Beyond your dreams. Many of you worry about your future. I think every conscientious young person does. But do you not realize what opportunities lie ahead of you? After a lifetime of dealing with human affairs, I am persuaded that your future will be beyond your dreams if you observe the following. Do not live on the edge. Avoid not only evil, but even the appearance of evil. Follow the counsel of Nephi to act for yourselves and not be acted upon. Seek first the kingdom of God and receive the great promise that all else will be added unto you. Follow the counsel of church leaders. I believe the Lord has brought forth special spirits who were reserved from before the world was to be strong and valiant in this difficult time of the world's history. I humbly pray you may be equal to it. End of the article, On the Edge, by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency.